Hilarious.
Yo.
Yep. It's us.
Welcome back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Afro Movie Review, the podcast.
Sure.
Already had air horns. Season 6, episode 72. We are back after a week. Did you guys miss us? We missed you.
I hope we were missed. I was going to say, because I missed you guys. Yeah. The voice you're hearing right now is Mo, she, her pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, the Chocolate Chip Podcaster.
And I am Keeks, they, them pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, your favorite trans podcaster. The year is 2017. The movie of this episode is Ladybird.
Ladybird.
Let's start with the history reel.
Show enough, show enough. You want to rock, paper, scissors on wax?
Yeah, I have two different documents for
her. I know, right? I'm with it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Hey.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Ooh, 20.
Bold paper. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Now
go
off
wait,
of me.
Copy look. Me.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay.
Okay. Finally.
We had too many ties.
Okay. That's synchronicity.
So I kept with the whole, because it's still Women's History Month, so like all my facts are about women. Not necessarily good, but you know, they're about women. We're going to start off with January 28th, the Australian Open Women's Tennis. Serena Williams defeats her older sister Venus Williams 6-4, 6-4 for her 7th Australian title and record 23rd Grand Slam event in singles victory.
Wow.
So one, can I say that I thought they were twins?
That's how you know you're young.
I remember seeing the documentary, but I was like, oh, okay, y'all just, one of y'all just taller than the other. But no, they're 16
Venus
months apart.
Yeah, Venus is older.
I was like, get off her, one. Because why?
Okay, the dad and the fact that we found out that the dad got hella other kids.
Because
King Richard came out. And they were like, yeah, y'all are promoting this like he's the best damn daddy because he made Venus and Williams, Venus and Serena, but he has other kids that he completely neglected.
Mm.
Previous kids from kids from previous marriages, kids inside that marriage, like, yeah, wild times, sticky. But this ain't about him, this is about Venus and them.
Right.
And Serena.
Why you putting two bad bitches against each other? I don't think that's fair. Honestly, I was looking at their stats and I was like, damn, y'all close.
They
ain't nobody touching
it.
The Williams sister. Like,
she got a shit on them people.
Look, I love it.
And they said, like, for a grand slam, who gonna grand slam it?
And
give
I think
the girls.
Serena has like 23. I think Venus has like 7. Don't quote me on that. Like, they had them like side by side. Their records are like so close. Like, but Serena has more grand slams than Venus, but like every other thing just like bam 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 bam. I'm like,
right.
Damn, I know
people
that's,
on her toes, that's sisterly.
I love that like so much, because you can just I can imagine them at the table like, yeah, gonna
imagine a grandma. Big flex.
My granddaughter won her 23rd grand slam,
and it's got to be the maternal one. Big
it has
flex
to be.
Big flex. The eggs of my egg?
You see my baby?
Yeah, that's amazing. All right. Was that it for your first fact?
Yeah.
Okay. My first fact is also very short and sweet. January 20th, 2017, Donald Trump is inaugurated. 45.
Fuck that nigga.
I just want y'all to remember, this, we say 2018 is when shit started hitting the fan. He also was fucking shit up in 2017. He dropped out of contracts. He started calling people shithole countries. He took away bans on trans rights. He did shit in 2017 so much that I didn't even list it. I just want y'all to remember that this is when it happened. he got inaugurated that year.
Starting, can we off just with, start praying for a double heart attack?
I just need somebody to get the gumption that they had in.
Look, in I'm two. Like, they don't be doing that no more.
You
like,
know what I just found out? You know what I just found out via social media? Oh, what? My God, if people could see my face, they'd be like, Mo is too hype about this. I just found out that John Hinckley, the man who tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan, is out of prison. And we had talked about this before. I knew he was out of prison. That's not the exceptionally like new part. The exceptional and like fascinating part is that this man has been making music and he keeps trying to put on... won't give him a venue.
You want to know why? Because he fucking failed. That's why. I wouldn't rent to your ass either. Because you had one job.
And the funniest thing is that he keeps trying to put on this event on the anniversary of the day that he shot Ronald Reagan.
Bitch, you failed. I don't care. You didn't even succeed. Oh, I'm mad at you.
Funny to me. Okay.
That's hilarious.
That's me. That's me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the rest of my facts are not as celebratory. Let's go. August 21st, Johnson & Johnson ordered to pay $417 million to a woman who developed ovarian cancer after using their talc-based products. This was a 63-year-old woman from California who has been using Johnson & Johnson since she was 11. She got $70 million in compensatory damages and $347 million in punitive damages.
That's right.
Now, for those non-Americans, I don't know if y'all know how America be working, but like when I tell y'all, they be fucking us over because Johnson & Johnson, that was not the only woman who had these problems. What Johnson & Johnson did is they created a company who they gave all the liability to for all of these other people suing them, and then they declared bankruptcy on that company. So they are not, they have no legal recourse to pay these people out. Like these companies.
So did really she ever get paid?
She got paid. The other but after people that,
okay.
did not. Wow. Can you imagine $417 million each time?
Because you knew your shit was... in and they you, knew. They knew the thing, that it was hurting like, people.
So fuck Johnson & Johnson. Fuck America, really. But
fuck Johnson & Johnson, for real.
Specifically. Because I just...
That's not wild, isn't it?
Look,
that's crazy.
My thing is, like, they barely research women and women anatomy, women reproductive system, and then you have these products that, because we learned that perms also gives you like fibroids and things like that, and then we learned about baby powder, and it's like,
and it wasn't baby powder, like you said, it's the talcum powder. They have different talcum powder. They have and Sean King Talcum X. We could talk about so much.
Osama bin Robin.
Who? Okay. White people, Muslims, beware. Sean King is in your community right now. That white man.
That white devil has converted
to Islam the day of Ramadan and is hosting. Please look into what the fuck he's doing and watch your back and your pockets.
And he's talking over Gazians.
And he's saying that he's
Palestinians. There you go.
But Gazians specifically too.
So
but talcum is a rock. So when they're making talcum powder, what they're doing is grinding rock down. And they knew that there had been some research that it would have adverse effects. And part of the reason that first woman's case was so big was because they had doctored, like, not, I don't know if doctored it, but they saw it and was like, all right, fuck that. And kept making production of it until somebody actually had an actual, you know, side effect. I think that people of culture have been using baby powders for a very long time. We know it. So if you are a person who still does, because I am a person who, like, I get waxes, right? Like underarms, whatever. You can't put deodorant under your underarms after you've gotten a wax. When I tell your skin, with my skin at least, is you cannot do that. My skin will be fucked up. So I have baby powder still, but what I have is a cornstarch baby powder.
Yes.
You have to make sure, because there was a time where I was using Johnson & Johnson. If you went to somebody's baby shower, you got the whole little Johnson & Johnson setup, because Johnson & Johnson lotions smell good. We've been fucking up and not even knowing. So I don't know.
Our country actively lets these corporations kill us. Like there is currently a recall on cinnamon that was sold in low income areas because it has cadmium in it. It's like a very heavy toxic metal.
Jesus Christ. Yes.
Yes. Like, they are killing us, y'all.
And yeah. So, whew, also the point of this podcast and why we do the history of some of this is just to let you know that this has been an ongoing thing. 2017 wasn't that long ago, but whew. All right.
Yeah.
My turn?
Yep.
Okay. Well, in that vein, I'm going to go a little bit lighter. February 17th, there was a discovery of a new mostly underwater continent called Zealandia. And it was found in the South Pacific and announced in the research journal GSA Today. Now, I say that to say because 2017 was a fucked up year for mermaids.
It was.
But like, new land, but mostly underwater. That land said, bitch, you will not colonize me.
And I appreciate that.
Bad bitch.
When you say that, it made me think of Atlantis. Because, you know, that's always searching.
Yes. So Zealandia is measured to be 5 million square kilometers and is 94% underwater. Damn. The paper says that it has only 3 land masses that are above water. So it has New Zealand's North and South Islands to the south of it and New Caledonia to the north. So there are some where you can, they're like, what's that might be. So how do you classify something as a continent? It has to have the proper elevation, the proper geology, meaning the type of rock that the mass is made up of, the proper crustal structure, which is the continental crust, and that it has to be various thicknesses and physical properties, and then the limits and areas. So it has a limit on how far, I guess, down and wide it goes. And you would think that has something to do with like structure, but doesn't. Because if it is too small, then they will not classify it as a continent. If it's too big, then it's called something the fuck else. If it's broken up, it's an archipelago.
I know
archipelago.
I don't know how to say it, so you got it.
I was just going to say, let me call baby here, because I
archipelago. All
right, there you go. So yeah, so that was very the fuck cool. Shout out to them for being like, no, I'm here, but she'll never gonna get it. So that's very cool. I think that the scuba divers have probably been able to go visit, which is cool enough. Like, healthy
y'all
respect.
Got it.
You can go see it, but bring your ass back. You can't vacation there.
Y'all got it. I don't
Zealandia.
Scuba. That's so cute though. Okay, my last one is really dark.
Okay.
So it's I'm sorry, but
I'm ready.
I feel like it's okay. So May 15th, the first U.S. prosecution under federal hate crime acts of violence against a transgender person with the murder of Mercedes Williamson.
Ooh. Okay.
Mercedes Williamson was a 17-year-old trans girl, because she was 17, who was murdered by her former groomer in Mississippi. He was 26, while she was 16 when they met in 2014. And she transitioned after dropping out of high school in Alabama. He killed her in 2015.
Oof.
She was murdered because he didn't want his fellow gang members, the Latin Kings, to discover their relationship as, quote, homosexual acts.
Used the trans fear, what's it called, the defense that they used. Oh, he tried to say he didn't know that she was trans and she surprised him and that he acted out
that was so fucking lie. So yeah, so he was afraid to do it because his gang would kill him for homosexual acts, even though she's a woman. So what are you talking about? Anyway, he found out that she was trans, and then he made a point to tell her, like, hey, we can't tell anybody because I would get killed.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew she was trans.
Definitely knew.
And he was given 49 years in a federal prison. And I hope he dies in there. The most horrific death, you a feeblephile. So
multiple offenses.
That girl. She was a girl.
That was a baby.
She was a baby, and she transitioned in Alabama. So not the most had progressive.
Had to have been hard as shit. That was a strong young lady.
Look, and I hope she rests in peace.
And I hope he. So my last fact. My last fact is November 13th, the first Barbie doll to wear a hijab is unveiled.
Yes! Yeah, I love that!
That's really Liddy in the City. It is modeled after Olympic fencer Oh, I was practicing this. So Ibitash Muhammad, and it was unveiled in New York. Ibitash is a Sagittarius from New Jersey. Gang, gang. She is an American saber fencer and member of the United States fencing team. So the saber fencing is one of three disciplines of modern fencing. The saber is the weapon, but they call saber fencing where you get points for using the cutting edge and the back of the blade to get your points.
Ooh, okay.
The other modern fencing is French. It's épée. I don't know. And then foil. So in those two, you only get points where you use the exact tip of the blade. So it's a little ballpoint thing. Uh-huh.
Yes.
So Miss Ibitash is known for being the first Muslim American woman to wear a hijab while competing for the United States in the Olympics, which makes her also the first woman in a hijab to win an Olympic medal because she won bronze. So
yeah.
Ending ladder with her, gang gang. She's yes. awesome. Shout out to her. She's still fencing. She's beautiful.
Yeah. But
take that shit, girl. Step.
Yes. Love it. Because so, look, I don't know nothing about no fence.
I don't.
I just want to be able to research.
I had to research that stuff. It looks cool as shit, but I had to research what that was. Hell, what? Even Perry Thrust is from Steven Universe. Nigga, I do not know. I'm not gonna lie. Can I hold you? All right, y'all. So that was that. We gonna transition to the plug. I was no say. I have it. We have a sound effect, but I was like, should I use it? It's the plug. We sound the same doing it.
Right?
Anyway.
There's just no like little film thing at the end.
So what do your lenses for this season look like, Keeks?
My lenses for this season is the one blue triangle, the yellow nose bridge that connects to a red triangle with the freedom fist hanging off the legs. What do your lenses look like for the season?
My lenses are the half-slice iridescent watermelons. That is one for Sudan, one for Palestine. I have the left leg that is blue and yellow for the Congo, and the right leg that is green and yellow for Tigray. So,
yeah.
Power to all oppressed people. That is the plug for the season. We are seeing some of the most horrific things that we've ever... I don't know that we've ever been able to document it in this way. They're trying to ban TikTok so that we can't see what's happening in real time. There is going on. They're saying if you download TikTok with a VPN, you could face up to 20 years in prison and $400,000 in fines. This is what the country is saying to you, right?
Yeah.
Right. So to our audience, sometimes we look at our numbers and I'm like, oh, our audience isn't that big, but it's enough people where if you guys each told two people, that's cool. Right? Not necessarily listen to us, but like about something that maybe that you heard. We're not trying to be the best, the biggest right now. We're trying to be the best us and make the best and biggest impact that we can make. And if the impact is to let you know that that's happening because you hadn't heard about it or you thought it wasn't that serious, no, they're doing that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy.
I just feel like if we just, everybody cop a squat for like a month, they can't do shit.
Sorry, everybody.
Look, and that's my thing. Look.
They can't fight everybody. Hold on, let me close my blinds real quick because it's now sunsetty and my light's on and I feel like if I'm over here doing weird stuff, maybe somebody could see me.
Mm-hmm. Don't be like them white folks now. We have a bay window.
White people in New England I don't close my blinds until it's time to go to bed. Girl, fuck you.
We have bay windows and you could just peek right through them bitches.
The mic is still going to pick me up and I won't be able to hear you because the headphones is off. So.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute. How can I still hear you? Give us a few moments, please. Please enjoy my voice. And you can't see, but I'm doing the little Kim dance.
Oh, I know,
as a little loading thing.
Ooh.
So
how's Lil Kim? She's awesome.
Love her. Questionable because she's dating like a 20 something year old now.
Here's the thing, is that a grown person?
She's like 49 and he's like 22.
That's a grown person.
Uh-uh.
That's a grown person.
And then he's under her, like artist wise. That's a power dynamic.
Oh, he's an artist. Okay. Yeah. So I know all of that. Let me not defend people before I know the facts.
And then a 20-year difference. Like, love
Baby,
you, girl.
Here's the thing. Old people, as if me and Babe ever don't, if we don't make it, let me tell you how my 50-year-old ass is gonna find me a 30-something-year-old. Why
That's
not?
Okay at that age, but like 40 and 20?
That's the same age difference. It's still 20 years.
20s, your brain ain't developed yet. And like, they be like, oh, you gotta wait till 25, but baby, even then. My brain ain't developed yet. And Valid. I just hit 30, so.
But 21, I don't know. If 21, you're able to get liquor. How about this? 25, you're able to get liquor. You're able to rent a car. You can pop. You could bump up.
You still say pop, oh, pussy.
Baby, know me.
Why
you stop? You could bump uglies with people, whatever the fuck you want to do. Do what you want to do. I feel like if these are grown people and there's no grooming involved, you mentioned a power dynamic, so.
Yeah, most of the time it is, though. But anyway, because we're not here for Liz Kim. Love her down, but also we got a movie to review.
Side eyes. Okay. So let's get into Lady Bird 2017. We have the director, Greta Gerwig, which I didn't even know this was going to be her thing. This was definitely a love story to Sacramento, where she is from.
Okay.
She is the actress, writer, and director. She did write the screenplay for this. Lady Bird received Academy Award nomination for Best Director and Best Original Screenplay.
Excuse me. She's known for mumblecore, and that's probably why. Maybe I don't like the subgenre mumblecore, but mumblecore is a subgenre of indie films with naturalistic acting, sometimes improvised dialogue, low budget, an emphasis on dialogue over the plot, and a focus on the personal relationship of young adults.
And if I would have read that, I would have been more prepared, because when I tell you the synopsis did nothing for me. In 2002, an artistically inclined 17-year-old girl comes of age in Sacramento, California.
Like, girl, what does that tell me? But I mean,
it didn't tell me nothing. And you know what this movie was about?
Bullshit.
Nothing.
But I also want to point out that Greta Gerwig, she bases her films on her own experiences and cites Woody Allen as a major influence.
Now that is why this episode and the review of this movie is mostly white people. What the fuck is up? Y'all okay?
Let's get into it, because babes, how did we go from this beautiful Chinese American story about Chinese culture and how, you know, mind over matter and you need communal family to this bullshit right here.
The reason, babe, when I tell you, IMDb gave this a 7.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave this a 99%.
Why are y'all lying?
99%. So here's my thing. I'm thinking that because, and that's why I had to remind us, 2017, Trump gets inaugurated. We're past the whole, like, did he get voted in? January 6th happens.
Right.
The white ride on the Capitol happens. Was that year? I think it was. So literally, after they done figured out the votes, because you remember, Georgia votes came in January 5th.
Right.
January 6th, they rode on the Capitol. January 17th, this fool is in office, or 20th, whatever it was. January 20th, this fool is in office. Somewhere around, August, I think it was summertime, this movie comes out. I think white people were trying to grasp onto their part of the childhood that they remembered, where they even judged their grandma for voting for Reagan. They wanted to get past that part and, like, past the reality of what was about to hit most of us in a nostalgic way. Because how the fuck did this get a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes?
What was your rating for this?
No flex, I gave it a 7 out of 10.
I gave it a 3.25.
You are fucking hilarious.
When I tell you 17 minutes in, I was like a 3 out of 10. And then when we found out that old boy was gay, I said a 3.25.
I just was like, I don't understand the point.
What is this movie pissed me off so much. What are your categories?
Hold on. Okay, because I got the math. Let me just clear shit. So my categories were hashtag not the target audience.
Because I definitely wasn't, which is probably why I didn't like it.
I have, why are y'all arguing? I have, oh, wow, / mom with 2 question marks. I have capitalized bitch. I have my LOL. I have young love is forever. And then I have maybe not with a question mark. What are your categories?
I have tied as my very first one because I was like, what in the
white? Because I'm motherfucking tied.
I'm tired of these white stories. They're boring. That was literally my first tick. Like, you're boring. I have girl in that tone, which changed to this bitch. So in parentheses, this bitch.
Uh-huh.
I have my LOL. And then I have abusive parenting. Because bitch,
let's get into it. So Cersei Ronan, because I had to look up how to say her name. I do believe that's how to say it.
Yep.
American born, but Irish actress. Nepo baby. She acted the fuck out of this. I think, like I said, I do think that white people were trying to get their nostalgia. The reason that I was even able to give this movie the ranking that I did is because even though I recognized that it wasn't my target audience, I saw a lot of some of my experiences in that. Was it the California of it? I don't know. But I got a California ass mama.
And see, I really wanted your perspective because she made it seem like this bitch made it seem like she was in like Oklahoma or Arkansas or something. I'm like,
Arkansas.
She's in California.
Sacramento. So here's the thing. I went to Sacramento. I've been to Sacramento a couple of times. The first time I went to Sacramento, this is how white and California some of my experiences are. This is why the movie probably got the ranking it did. When I was in fourth grade, I'm just going to age myself. When I was in elementary, I don't even know if it was fourth grade, honestly, fourth or fifth. But I was in elementary school or third. I don't know. Under the age of Clinton. Elementary school in Clinton's second, whatever, because I'm not that old. But like in his about to get out, he was fucking up home loans, but he was funding the fuck out of schools. So for $200, my parents were able, the cost was $200, and I was able to get on a Southwest flight round trip, go to Sacramento because that is the state capital of California, go and tour the state capital, meet the governor, have lunch, see the city, and fly the fuck back home in a day. Had a chartered bus, some more shit. In my later going to Sacramento experiences, I was like, ain't shit to do out here. And this was And this was a love story to Sacramento. I'm not going to lie. There were shots in there that parts of Sacramento I had never seen, probably because I didn't care to seek them out. This is somebody who does know the area, who knows where to go. This is where I grew up to get food. This really was her being like, I couldn't wait to get the fuck up out this bitch. And now that I'm gone, I miss it. And that I can relate to because I hated growing up in Southern California for a very long time. And not in any way other than it just seemed mundane. When you see other depictions, Southern states have way more things going on to me than what I was able to experience Black culture-wise in Southern California. Not gonna lie, right?
Sorry. No, I laugh because I remember when I think it was either you or your mom came and she was just staring at all the Black people.
I told you when I got off the plane, that was both of us, my dog. I got off the plane and I landed in Atlanta and I had never been to Atlanta. So not only was the airport overwhelming, my nigga, I said, look at all these Black people. And this is pre-COVID. I really mouthed that shit. I said it out loud. And you know how I know I said it out loud? Because a nigga walked past me and said, girl, it's just the airport. Wait till you get outside.
Hello, niggas.
It's niggas galore. So it is a very different experience. And growing up, like, the South had a culture that was its own. It was unique. It was identifiable, right?
Mm-hmm.
The East Coast has a culture that is its own. Even with the diversity and the melting pot that is a lot of the East Coast, Black culture is identifiable. You can pick it out. Southern California, if you're not from LA, is not necessarily an identifiable culture for you. Right? I am from Southern California. I'm from a border town. And I grew up, what's most identifiable for me is Chuck Taylor's and Dickies. K-Swiss and Adidas, like flip-flops And when it's too cold, put on a sweatshirt, because I'm from inland. Like, you know what I'm saying? The beach is accessible. But for this bitch, Sacramento is, it's like an hour and a half to the beach. Is she just inland in the fuck? It would take me 25 minutes to get to the beach. Real. Call it what you want. You know what I'm saying? Her existence, I could imagine it sucking. There ain't shit to do in San Francisco. I mean, there ain't shit to do in Sacramento. But for her, San Francisco and Davis, all of that was far too close.
Mm.
So even her need to expand, and that I related to. I wanted to get the fuck out of California. And when I went to college the first time, I picked the furthest. My mom locked me to California. You cannot go out of state for your first year of college. I said, okay.
Why?
She just, something in her gut told me I might need to hold on to her a year longer. Right? So okay. I picked the furthest place that I could go that had no snow in the state of California. So this movie, I got it. At the same time, white people, it's not that serious.
Yeah, I didn't catch that, because the whole, even with the whole, like, her calling back, I was like, one, her mom was hella abusive, and I didn't appreciate that. The way you talk to your daughter, like, the very first scene is her opening the fucking car door to get away from you. She's like, I would rather be dead than listen to anything. Than listen to anything you have to fucking say. Like,
I was like, I didn't know whether to laugh or to be appalled, so I did both. Robbins. I was like, oh dog, oh dog.
Like, her mom pissed me the fuck off, because the whole movie she's there like degrading her, demeaning her, all of that. And then for at the end of the movie be like, mom, it's Christine, you were right. About what? Is we just gonna gloss over the fact that she was passive aggressive as fuck? And she always said that she was nothing. Like,
it was interesting how that was hammered into her multiple times throughout it. But when she was sitting down with Sister Sarah Joan or whatever, and she had given over her essay, she was like, oh, you love Sacramento. She was like, bitch, mm-hmm. do I? And she's like, yeah, because the way you talk about it, you describe it. And she's like, I just pay attention. And she's like, well, isn't paying attention love? And she started to associate that message was to her, to how her mother was treating her. And she shifted after that conversation with Sister Sarah Jane. Or mother, sister.
I could see that. Because there was a point where, I think it was Timothy Champagne was like, oh, no, was it Danny?
Why, nigga, I did not know that was that man.
I'm done.
I know.
I definitely looked and I was like, Stranger Things? Okay.
I was like, who is he? I didn't know who he was. My note for him is, bitch, that's him. The only reason I really want to even give him any nod at all is because fuck Armie Hammer.
Yeah, we talked about this before.
We talked about it pre, and I'm not going to get too into it. But what I do know is that the Armie Hammer girls, if they ever hear this audio, will get our numbers the fuck up, because they ride for your boy. And
he's not that cute.
And I think the only reason he got any play is because apparently Timothy Champagne acts his ass down. He acts down. That's what they say about that man. Jaboy is getting it. So Armie Hammer, who's sitting at home with his bologna sandwich and his Oscar Mayer mustard, just like everybody else, and is, you know, hustling and trying to make it paycheck to paycheck. Unlike Armie Hammer, when we take off days, we might still get a deposit. Job well done. Yeah. Armie Hammer, it's not working anymore. Timothy Chalamet. He is, and he works. Fuck Armie Hammer. Anyway.
But I said that because somebody was like, your mom's really hard on you. And she was like, well, yeah, she loves me. She loves me a lot. And I'm like, that is the kind of mindset that leads to an abusive relationship.
She, as soon as she got to college, started acting out. Baby, when I tell you, some of this was very relatable. But it was interesting because I really caught that conversation with the nunnery and the shunnery changed her. It changed the perspective that she had on her mom. She started defending her mom against all kinds of people. Anybody who said something about her. Danny, Miguel, the girlfriend Shelly.
See, this is my thing about this. They, with the whole Tide category, it was like, fuck all these white stories. You listening to the Grape of Wrath. Your name is Lady Bird, which I feel like is a cultural appropriation.
Was crying,
like
crying to the Grapes of Wrath, like on audio
cassette.
Oh my god! What? Maybe because that again, not your target audience, because the Dust Bowl hit the white people and they were like, oh my God, we're able to starve. But like a lot of people through the Great Depression who were people of culture had already been through making sure that they could can. And these things that are now all of a sudden coming back, everybody wants to be a traditional fucking housewife and learn how to can some shit. Bitch, that's my Mormonism. Mama been can. I didn't want to name it specifically, but what I'm saying is, call it as it is. What it is that you're seeing these people who never varied from some of those same traditions, but the Mormons never let black people in. So the Mormons figured that shit out during the same time. My great-grandparents Mormons just started letting black people in when they figured out black people had coins to spare. That was like the 70s or the 80s.
I remember some dude tweeted and he was like, yeah, Mormons was like, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be white.
Because it literally says in their book that if you are sinned, you are made black. That's the trip. I've been talking about religion all day. But my point is that a lot of black people knew how to have, they've had these techniques and they've been passed down to them and their families, which is why we will value a cast iron or we will value a spoon or we will value certain things, because not only is it's the value of that thing physically to be able to hold it, but the power to be able to feed your family through all of those times is also now in that spoon and with you. We've been doing these things. Bitch, I don't give a fuck about y'all canning brand new special stuff. I do care that y'all have figured out a way to avoid all botulisms, but like, suck my butt. Suck my butt. That's what's happening. So some of this was like...
It was very much modern... 1950s, that's what it was. Like, let's go back to the good old days. Because they had all the troops.
They were crying about it.
Oh my God.
They were crying about it. And here's the thing. Rose of Sharon gonna pull that titty out and feed this man. Have you gotten through the Grapes of Wrath?
No. Mm-hmm. I don't be reading these white folks shit. I haven't read the Grapes of Wrath. I haven't read Three Blind Men or Three Blind Mice, whatever the fuck.
I've only read The Three Musketeers?
Is that?
Three Blind Mice. Are you talking about Of Mice and Men?
There you go.
Okay. I'm with you. I'm caught up.
All I've read is Hamlet, and I've read, fuck, what is it? Armageddon 24? No. What the fuck is that?
Fahrenheit 9/11?
No. Okay.
No. I'm just going to start throwing out shit with numbers. I'm sorry.
Apocalypse Now.
Because we have to read that for that English class.
So them are like the only two white things that I've
read. What's the original Apocalypse Now? What's that book? Is the book called Apocalypse Now?
Romeo and Juliet. That's the other one.
Nigga, you was Shakespeare in it. Because they make you do Shakespeare, right? I think the fact that this shit got a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes is them trying to concrete it into like, this is what American culture was and this is what 2002
I hate
was.
It.
And because bitch, no, it wasn't. For who?
They have all the negative. So the fat black best friend bothered me. The fact that...
Oh, but give her a shout out in the fact that she's really an awesome person, though.
I definitely have her in my movie notes. Oh, shit, wrong thing.
She's the business. Beanie.
I loved her. She is an American actress and singer. Her older brother is Jonah Hill. I said, what?
I didn't even know that there was a bunch of Nepo babies up in here because, okay, yeah, her older brother is Jonah Hill, but her mom is a costume designer and fashion stylist, and her daddy was the tour accountant for the Guns N' Roses, so.
Right, like, and her older brother, who unexpectedly died from a blood clot at the age of 40, was the manager of Maroon 5.
Like, all of them were doing the things. Beanie works, though. And the fact that
since 2002,
she works.
Girl!
And... it's fucking with me because now that I know Jonah Hill is her brother, I can kind of see it.
That's the thing. I had to like look at her and then look at him and be like, oh, okay. Yeah, I see it.
Luckily, I did the research afterwards. So I just got to enjoy her in this role. But why did you hate her character?
Because it's always the fat best friend who has to uplift the skinny. And then the way she treated her, she wasn't even happy that she got the main role. She was like, oh, now you get to be all kissy-kissy with Danny. But also, you didn't even console her when she got the part. She's sitting there, oh, when she called her mom's boyfriend Uncle Matt, oh, you shouldn't call him that. Like, bitch.
She just was very, like,
she was very controlling. And it's just were. Like, was it
an
because...
interesting dynamic. And the fact that when she showed up for her last minute and she was like, let's be real, I've had my dress for months. Your best friend didn't know. That's an interesting tell. You're her like best that. Friend, but she's not yours.
Not yours. And that's exactly how it played out. She was only there and easily discardable because she was very much...
When they kept saying, who's Jules, who's Julia, I was like, I'll punch you in the fucking face.
Yeah. And then I don't like the way they use Shelly because I feel like she was everything. This is a white Catholic girl in California. Shelly
is a
black.
She's a biracial. Oh, she's biracial.
Not only that, she's vegan. She has all these piercings and she's goth.
And she's like, also influencing their son, Miguel. And because, you know, but also she's very awkward. I do not want to speak for biracials. I've never been one. I've known multiple biracials in California.
I have four black grandparents.
Oh, call it. I got four black great grandparents. Wait, I got eight great black. I'm counted out. Counted out. Because when I tell you I'm over here 90. What is it? What did they say? I was 94% African ancestry. I'm like I'm blacker than Don Cheadle. And when I tweeted him and told him that, he congratulated me. Bitch, you can't get no blacker than this. What? But that ain't the point. She herself she was very awkward. I didn't understand the point of her being there other than to be an influence and a distraction.
A direct opposition of what Christine was and what it felt like. And then the playing Bones, Thug, and Harmony at the dance. That was a little weird.
I promise you, the bitch was not... The first time was because she flung herself out that goddamn car. But any other time was like, what the fuck are y'all on? Let me not say that because not your target audience. But most of it was like, what the fuck are y'all on? Why would you be slow dancing? Why would you be slow dancing?
The crossroads, my nigga.
To crossroads. Have you heard the words?
And that the whole Reagan country thing, she was like, oh, I'm on the wrong side of the track.
Now, here's the thing. Reagan, I want to say is from California, or when he was governor, like, he was governor. Up there. So like she might have had more associations. I don't know. We know they said that Nancy was out there throat goating. Maybe Reagan was out here doing his things and he got a couple fans too. I don't know. But I know that when she asked, is this serious? And Danny said, yeah. Like, disappointed? There was a reason for it.
Yeah. Because when I think Reagan, I'm thinking Reaganomics, and I'm thinking this nigga dancing with the devil.
And they still had his poster up, right? All of that, and they still had his poster up. So the grandchildren of the people who voted for him have the regrets.
This is
2017. Mind you, Greta wrote this and she had it for years and had to adjust it and all kind of stuff. But I feel like that was definitely a nod at the fact that we are now in this year under the presidency of another devil.
And that is because they was pushing so much white evangelical propaganda. The fact that the teacher had
it.
That was like, I was that baby that could have been aborted. And the fact that even after everything that she did, she went back to church.
I was confused about Jules's relationship or infatuation with the teacher, why the teacher was around there, why they put that in there at all, if not to explain something. I felt like she became even more heartbroken after she figured out that his wife was pregnant, and I felt like there was something happening there. There was so much happening. White people, do your first boyfriends turn out to be DL?
I honestly thought this was one of those Catholic teachers messing with their students' stories at first.
What the fuck is going on? And why did... My real thing is, why the fuck did this get a 99%? The 7.4 on IMDb, I kind of get, okay, fine, cool. Why? And only because I do, like I said, not your target audience, but I was still able to get myself in some of this. And it was probably because Californian. If it wasn't for that, would I have been able to see myself in this? Again, growing up in California, the image that I saw of other places in in the continental North America. Even for that, when I saw it on video for other people, Black experience seemed richer and more concrete in other areas.
Yes.
There was the only Black people were both biracial light skins, because we had Shelly and then we had Father Leviathan. What the fuck was that man's name?
I don't know, but I looked at him and I said, that's a nigga.
And we know him. He's familiar. I almost want to put him on here only because he was the only Black person. But Greta, I'm not giving you no fucking points.
He was lighter than Shelly. Like, what?
And I don't know if that's not accurate for Sacramento, but I know. Because I haven't been in Sacramento enough to see how many people, but I know that I know plenty of dark-skinned people from Sacramento.
I'm about to say, the church, even when they were doing, like, the services at the beginning, had plenty of dark-skinned Black people.
They Black pepper on the goddamn mashed potatoes. And so, I need you to, is not an accurate depiction of Sacramento.
And it was very much, and now that you put into perspective, like, yeah, this was the year that Trump got elected. This very much pushes as keep America white. So,
in that same tune, is it that because she went to, they kept saying how Miguel saw someone knifed in front of him when he was at that public school. She's at a private school. So they're choosing to whiten up her experience. And the whole point of the story is her choosing to go to a place like New York City in 2002. This is a year after September 11th. So this wild bitch said, no. Her mama... Part of the anger and the projection that was on her was that her daughter dared to dream so big, right? And she was scared for how that
they couldn't afford it. That was another thing.
And they couldn't afford it. But the reality of you keeping your child in the dark is that they will continue to dream big and not think about what limitations it sets for you, because you gave them no limitations for themselves. I appreciated that, because when it came down to it and she got waitlisted at first, she was amped. And then when she got accepted, when her parents put their house up for...
I said, refinance your house.
I said, bitch, that's a different kind of love.
Because this is why I can't be a parent. I'm not doing that for you.
Here's my thing. Let's get back to Reagan. As much as this nigga is up on the wall, he's the reason why state colleges are not free anymore. So,
them niggas are going to go to school.
He's the governor of California. He said, I am noticing a lot of Black people getting degrees in my state schools that are free. He said, I'm going to make state colleges not free for anybody in my state. And the Republicans saw it and said, bitch, you are dramatic. You will lay down the chop. What the fuck else would you do? And
we all like of a sudden, your racist.
This no-name racist Hollywood cowboy backwards bitch with the throat goat of a wife becomes the president? Now you can't go to college for free. You cannot go to state college for free. None of us. It backfired on all of us because bitches is going into debt. And did Reagan even have kids, or did Nancy swallow them all?
I don't even know. And see, John, this is why we don't like you, because you missed. You fucked up.
Who, John?
The one, Henley.
Oh. Now, I'm going to give Mr. Hinckley his dues, though, because, Hinckley. You know, I think it's Hinckley. I think it is. But here's the thing. The only reason, because I feel like if we hype him up, we might get him to try
on
somebody else.
Babes, come on.
You got more support this time, my guy. I don't know what kind of support you had the first time, but I guarantee you it's more now.
What kind of support you had the first time?
It's definitely going to be more now.
Allegedly. Gotta niggas. Bring that back. Allegedly. You got more support now. Allegedly.
Allergic to those litigations, baby. It was jokes and jokes and jokes and jokes.
Yeah, we kick in.
I do think that the part of the reason that the end loop around to go into church and all of that is that she is in a foreign place as far as like New York. She's never been there. This bitch hopped off of the train with all of her shit. When I got to New York the first time, I looked just like her. I wasn't going to college though. I just hopped off that bitch and was like, I know where I'm going. I don't. It was fun though. It was fun to act like I did, and nobody fucked with me because I had the confidence. She got off. She knew what she needed for herself. Mm. And again, probably why I was able to see some of this, but white people, what's the reason on not necessarily like harping on this time of your life, but like, because you're allowed to do that because growing pains are yours.
I'm about to say nostalgia is a lie, though. I just need people to know that. Like, it is a bold-faced lie. Nothing was ever as good as you thought it was. It was never that good. Like, babes.
That's it. That's it. Because, and this is from people who can romanticize even villains in the story. Right. I can make it so that they are not as villainous in my memory to soften the impact. Like,
let it go.
99%?
This was very much a MAGA thing. Like, make America great again.
I'm not going to take it that far. I don't think that it's that. Greta Gerwig does not give me that vibe. What I think this is that it was very 2002. But, and especially because young 2002, I remember 2002.
I'm going to say,
I don't even remember
9/11. I got it. Mama, what happened 9/11? What we did?
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm not finna.
Boy, when people's parents were picking them up from school on 9/11, I remember one of my friends being like, is your parents class? That nigga, no. I will ride the school bus back home and the city bus after that. My parents are not coming to get me. And then the next day, when people were absent from school, I was there, like, dog. I was back in school. My teachers was mad as shit. But you thought we was calling an emergency? Get your ass up there and teach, bitch. Oh, we're in California, and unless you are directly affected, I'm not. Let's go.
Look.
But, like, this is active memory for me, right? It was very depicted of. And I think that if we were to open up, like, a time capsule of, like, 2002 bullshit, some of the shit that was depicted in here would be seen in that. So it's not necessarily the Trumpy. It's not that. It just, I feel like she gave us, like, right? Like, she was trying to give us hints of, like, this fool's about to fuck some shit up, and your grandkids are going to be the ones who are like, damn, I regret even being related to my grandma. But look at this big ass house that she bought. You know,
it was everything wrong about white America, in my opinion. I the whole verbal abuse of mom got on my fucking nerves. I wanted to bop, bop, bop that bitch. Like,
who pieced that hoe?
Like, and then for her to call her and be like, I'm sorry, I was wrong, you were right. Are we just going to ignore the fact that she said multiple things. She said, you
ain't going to be shit.
Basically,
don't look like shit. Can't dress like shit.
You're not worth state tuition.
You would never get into a college dumb bitch. You don't do shit. Who would bet on you, bitch?
She, look, and I'm just like, if anybody told me that on the fucking street, you think you could just tell me that because you family?
And I feel like the character Lady Bird was acting. She felt like she was acting in spite, but maybe she was acting despite. Right? Like, mm-hmm. I am behaving this way. Like, in spite of what you're doing, I'm able to succeed.
Because they were terrible fucking parents.
They were.
Dad was. He was very lenient, very.
But she acted, a lot of what she was doing, her projections were in spite of what they were doing to her.
Right.
Right. And once she got out of that situation, she was able to see that despite of what was happening around her, she was able to have successes and romanticize the past in a way that she could miss it. And the only connection that she could have was going to a Catholic church in New York City, someplace. After waking up in the hospital.
Also, like, it's 2017. Why do we need a story about 2002? We have plenty of movies about 2002.
Because nostalgia, they love watching white girls grow up. 13.
I don't.
13 is wild.
I've seen it all the time. Like, it reminds me of Spring Breakers. Y'all grow up, y'all do terrible shit, and then y'all try to go back to being white.
That's it. And we've talked about that.
Like,
let's be real. So, I don't know. This movie, I gave it a 7 out of 10 because I was able to. Because I lived through 2002, I knew white girls in 2002, and I know white girls who probably acted like that in 2002 and are now married to Republicans and would act like they never, ever did a drug, sucked a cock in an alley, or tried to beat their mama ass and was talking about being on Maury and Jerry Springer and some shit. Because they would live a life and then separate from that life, right? And Greta doing this, she's all married now. She like her and her husband wrote Barbie, and then she all directed it, and like she gets to be the.
Oh my gosh, like, she did write Barbie.
She this is and she's saying
I didn't watch Barbie, so
I haven't. But what we know is that she hit with that shit, right? Big money.
It was and popular. But
it also. I think it's the first to make $1 billion or some shit. Yeah. So now Greta gets to reflect on the fact that she was that type of child. And now she's all clean and demure and praise that her kids won't give her the hell that she gave her mama.
It feels like.
They love a reflection story.
It feels like those white people who back in the day was like, oh yeah, who went to like lynchings and stuff. And like now they're trying to like erase change all the history. Evidence yeah. of like. Yeah. And that's what it feels like no accountability.
Absolutely. And I like it. The same infatuation of like people who write books and choose to stay as like YA.
Young adults.
Yeah. Why do you choose not to get past like the age of 23? What happens there in that time for you where you don't want to max out and grow beyond that? Like
another problem of white America, you're so fixated on youth. Youngness and that
and the hubris of youth and excusing their behavior and like
they're just kids. Boys will be boys. That is a 24-year-old man.
And her ass woke up drunk in a New York City hospital on whose insurance? She's a student. But she gets to call and say, you were right. I done woke up drunk and didn't know where the fuck I was. So now I went to church and I'm Christine again.
And then another thing that bothered me. She was like, I wish you would like me. And she was like, I do love you.
Ooh.
That is not what I said, that ma'am. That is
not the same thing.
I said, and you can love somebody and not like them, but also.
Ask me how I know.
Look.
Nigga.
What's that verse? You can love them from afar and feed them with a long spoon or something like that. Look.
With it. Shit.
But, like, that was, like, damn, at 17? Mm-hmm. And then the obfuscating, like, ma'am, just tell me. Do you like me or not?
She
but
told
that,
her.
That was your
she
answer.
She told her, yeah.
But
because those words, they don't have to say it directly for you to understand.
I prefer directness, and though.
But I'm telling you, that's that California mama.
I make like, you say it out. Uh-uh. I'm neurodivergent. If I don't hear it directly, I'm not gonna understand it.
And I'm just a saying with your chest ass nigga. So what we talking
Look,
about?
Look, ten
what
toes down. About? If you really want to be about that, like 10 toes down.
Say
stand
it,
in
feel it.
Stand
it's fine.
It.
Those are your feelings.
Because that's how you feel, right?
That's how you feel. Me. This is me who identifies as a disruptor. And this isn't like, oh, I'm some social disruptor. I'm out here doing activisms. No, I try to put my piece in where I can. I literally feel like I came to this world to be the disruptor for everybody's lives. I feel like from the time I was born to every person that I meet now, I challenge the way that they think and I make them do it a little bit different. And I don't necessarily mean to. My intention isn't to challenge you. It just fucking happens. Ugh. So, say what the fuck you mean. You don't like me today? Nigga, I ain't like you yesterday. That's fine.
Like, and I barely talk like to you today. Like,
if we gonna get past it, we gonna get past it. But if we're not, we're not. And so that's one of those things where I could see in this movie, Lady Bird was just like, say what the fuck you feel. What is it? She just wanted to know.
That.
It wasn't gonna stop her shit. She just wanted to know.
And so, that's the thing. They kept so much from her because she was a child.
Quote, unquote. And she turned 18 at the hut. Nigga, I'm too close to 18 for you to play in my face like that.
Like, come on.
I'm not doing this with you. I want to see when Greta's birthday is. Greta, what's your sign? August 4th, babe. What's that?
That's a Leo.
A Leo? Fire sign. But a Leo. So a big roar fire sign. But also, like, if you purr me right, I'll act right. That's what that is. Pet me right and I'm going to act right. Leos give that energy.
They're conceited. Not conceited. They're selfish.
They're cats.
Confident. So.
Think about a cat in real life.
They're so cute. Oh
they also God. Know they run shit, right? Until they get outside and figure out they don't run shit. What were the ticks for your categories?
Todd had 13.
Todd,
girl,
motherfucking Todd.
This bitch has 17. LOL had 14, and abusive parenting had 20. I even had a finally some fucking drama category, but it was only one thing.
Because turn up the volume. What was the point of this movie? Honestly, I don't know.
Thank you. Like, I feel like you wasted my 96 minutes. Give it back.
An hour and 33 minutes. I paused it twice and was like, there's more story?
I paused it multiple times and I was like, God damn it, I'm not stimulated.
Luckily, I watched it. This is going to be a slightly longer episode because I have an announcement for the end, but that's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I paused it multiple times, and even that was with me watching it on an avenue that had commercial breaks in it on its own.
Damn.
I was given breaks and still was like, dog, what are we doing? I appreciated every break that came in, I swear to God. And it wasn't 3 minutes of commercial. It was like 30 seconds. And I was like, y'all could do 3 minutes. Wow. You could. It could have been to snack. It could have been to pee. It could have been to stretch my brain. Because what are we doing?
This was...
All right. So hashtag not the target audience at 12.
Yeah.
With me relating it to the way that I did.
Mm-hmm.
We do this podcast to see how Black, queer, neurodivergence would feel about this. Disabled. How would we feel about this? Nah.
That's some bullshit.
Mixed-stream, huge. Why are y'all arguing? Has 6. Wow / mom? Question marks had 16. Bitch had 26.
Yep.
Accurate, right? LOL had 9. Young Love is Forever had 12, and maybe not question mark had 9. Our combined ranking for this is a 5.125 out of 10. I feel like that is accurate than a motherfucker. I am not gonna hold you.
I feel like that's too high, but
I know you do.
I'm like, damn.
I know you do.
I think it's so jarring too, because we came from that beautiful ass movie with all of this culture.
My God. What did I give? Wait, do I have it right here in front of me? Because if I do...
What did you give the last movie?
Yes, because what did I...
8.25. Don't quote me on that, though. It was an 8 point something.
The Farewell, I gave it an 8.75.
Okay.
I'm changing this right now because of that.
What, changing?
I'm changing my ranking to a 6.
Oh, for this?
For this.
Okay.
So that would make this, I guess, a 4.125. I don't know. Let's do math again. I'm not good at math. So let's see. Babe, can you give me hold music?
Give me a second.
Oh, wait. I have it up on me. You were so funny.
That was a transition. That was so
Wait. Let me see. Where's, what's my song too?
I just be adding stuff. I don't even remember adding it.
Right.
And we are back. Thank you so much for holding.
Oh my God. Oh, okay.
That's also my beat, so don't be using that without my permission. I think I made that in like Guitar Man. Like,
oh my God, you better make your beat. All right, babe. So that makes us a 4.625 out of 10. I'm probably more comfortable with that because...
I'm sorry, that was me.
I was like,
why is that doing that? I'm all in the media.
Oh my God. Okay. So we are a little bit over our timeline because we do have an announcement for this. In case you don't even know what it is, you're probably going to be like, why the fuck would you do that? Okay, so what I figured out is that HBO, the Max, whatever they call it now, they were the same kick as us. So they have added a bunch of A24 films and they literally have it on the homepage.
Nice. So
very nice, right? So I wanted to be able to tell you guys which films, if you already have that subscription, that you could watch on there if you were having trouble finding them before, because not all of them were accessible in the same places. And not every film that we have done is on there right now, but a good amount of them are. So, I hate that closed like that, but okay. So let's see. So they have Spring Breakers, Room, The Last Black Man in San Francisco, The Farewell, Everywhere, 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 everywhere. So that's how many we've done so far. But of our like 9 that we've done in this season, they have like 5 or 6 on there. They have a bunch of other ones on there that are very selected. It's a curated list, probably to get you into it. But they are on the same kick that we're on. So I'm going to ask them like, hey, boo.
Look,
guess who,
our
reviews? Guess who you should give a little shot to, because we was already doing this before y'all. And if you're trying to great mind it, then a like it over here, right?
Get you some different perspectives. Yes. I love that sound.
Oh, booms. But I was like, they really should run over here, because we are getting through this season and having a nice variety. I do think that this movie was white on white on white. It is Wonder Bread with white cheese with, what is that mayonnaise called that's not mayonnaise? Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip's not mayonnaise?
It's dressing. It's salad dressing.
Okay, no, it's mayonnaise.
No, dog. It's salad dressing. Yeah, no, it's white on white on white. Listen, I know black people that like it. I'm just saying the whiteness of it.
Wow.
Why is today yours? It's marshmallows. It is.
Ew. Marshmallows.
I'm just talking about the whiteness of it.
Rice.
It was white. White rice. It was mashed potatoes. It was
not the good kind. Damn.
Instant. When you don't know how to whip them up and aerate them properly to make them thick.
In the kitchen, just a bit with the stir fry.
That's it. When your mashed potatoes look like cream of wheat. That type of white. It was I don't know, dog. It was raisins and potato salad white.
Oh God, no.
This was white.
But yeah, let us know how you guys feel.
And if you're white, let us know for sure, because y'all are the target audience.
Did you really like this?
No, and not even to say it like that, not even just to say if you're white, but if you are the target audience, if this was the age range, because I want to know.
And what is it about it that you like so much? That's what I would like to know.
Whether you saw it in 2017 or you saw it now and can remember 2017 and the hype around it, because why? A 99%? Rotten Tomatoes, I'm gonna at them too. They need to hire us quick.
You need some professional.
And we are professional
reviewers. Like, we be kikiing and stuff, but also,
ain't Ebert
check
dead?
Check our credentials. Look, popping my collar.
Okay, but ain't Ebert dead? You don't want to replace him with 2 more white people.
Wait, who died?
Roger and Ebert.
Damn.
I don't know if the nigga's really dead. Let me get out of here. Bye, y'all.
See, bye. Bye.
Bye.